Welcome to this edition of the Pepperdine People Podcast. I'm your host, Rick Gibson. This series captures some of the outstanding learning and outreach opportunities available here at Pepperdine. Each episode features interviews with exceptional members of our community and the special people who visit our campus.
Thank you for joining us for episode 30 of Pepperdine People. Today it's January 12, 2010. This is the date for the annual Frank Pack Distinguished Christian Scholar Lecture Program. And our guest on campus today is Tremper Longman III. He's professor at Westmont College in Montecito, California, the Robert Gundry Professor of Biblical Studies. Welcome, Tremper.
Thanks, Jerry. It's great to be here.
You've been here before. Tell me your connection with Pepperdine.
Well, my connection with Pepperdine began when my son Andrew matriculated as a freshman, about 8 years ago now. Mm-hmm. And he graduated from Pepperdine and just this past summer married his Pepperdine sweetheart, Tiffany Love, now Longman. And so that's my first connection with Pepperdine. Then I was down here in 2007 and gave a lecture and really enjoy the opportunity to be back.
Well, good. We're glad to have you back. Tonight is the Frank Pack Lectures, and you're lecturing on what tonight?
Well, I'm lecturing on the book of Ecclesiastes, but looking at the book of Ecclesiastes and what it says about idols. You know, we have a tendency, even as Christians, to create idols in our life, things that we put first and put ahead of God. And the book of Ecclesiastes speaks in a very powerful way to that tendency. We think of the Old Testament and idols, we think rightly of these man-made objects that were covered with gold and worshipped, whether they represented the god Marduk or the god Baal. But the book of Ecclesiastes speaks in a surprisingly modern way about idolatry.
And then tomorrow morning, you're speaking to the entire student body in the weekly convocation in Firestone Fieldhouse. What are you going to share with them?
Well, what I'd like to talk to them about is the book of Psalms and how the book of Psalms are a real resource of prayer, particularly in times of difficulty, and how one particular psalm works in that way, and that's Psalm 77. I wrote a book a number of years ago now, mid-90s, though it's still available. It's called Cry of the Soul with a psychologist named Dan Allender. And there we looked at the book of Psalms and how they really help us when we're going through difficult times. But I'm going to tailor it, of course, for a college college crowd.
Let me go back to the beginning of your college days. You went to Ohio Wesleyan.
That's right.
Is that right?
Yeah,
so
that's right, Jerry.
Was your background Methodist or Wesleyan? Or?
Well, you know, that's interesting. I didn't become a Christian till maybe a couple months before I went to college, so I already made my college decision by that time, and I made the decision about where to go to college based on football.
Okay.
Because I played, you might not believe it to look at me now, but I'm about the same size, but I'm small to play offensive line, but I played offensive line for a really good high school team, but I was too small to play for a big college town. So I went to Ohio Wesleyan because the coach was interested in me as a Division III team. But as I say, I became a Christian just before I went to college and didn't know it was Methodist connected, to be honest. But it was in the early 70s, and we, you know, you might remember the old Jesus revolution of the late 60s, early 70s. So a lot of people had just become Christians or during my freshman year became Christians. So we had a nice on-campus Bible study going. Fellowship.
Now, what made you go from there to Westminster Theological Seminary? By then, had you decided I'm going to teach religion? Or
yeah, what happened was I wasn't particularly interested in academics when I went to college. But after I became a Christian, I thought I'd take some religion courses. But being kind of naive, I didn't realize I was walking into a situation where the professors were more interested in trying to talk me out of my newfound faith. And that was, in one sense, good because it kind of motivated me to think more deeply about my faith and challenged me to really study. And I was with a group of people who were similarly challenged by the teaching in the religion philosophy department. So we started studying the Bible very carefully. And at that time, there was a young minister theologian in the area that some people have probably heard of, R.C. Sproul, who was stationed at that point in Ligonier in western Pennsylvania. And so he'd come to our campus about once a month and teach us. So I, you know, R.C. became kind of a model for me. And then there were other people, too. And so, and my wife happened to be from Philadelphia. So we went, when I went back to visit her, myself and my friend Dan Allender, whom I just mentioned as the psychologist that I collaborate with now on books, we decided to go to Westminster Seminary.
And then you went on to Yale to finish your PhD, is that right?
Yeah, that's right. After I finished my Master's of Divinity at Westminster, I was encouraged by my professors at that time to consider going on and doing graduate work and then coming back and teaching at Westminster. So Yale was a very attractive place to go study at the time in both ancient Near Eastern studies as well as Old Testament studies. Brevard Childs was a well-known Old Testament professor there, though I did most of my work with two other well-known professors, Jim Kugel and R.R. Wilson. But I also did a lot of work in ancient Near Eastern studies, learning all those ancient esoteric languages. And I wrote my dissertation on fictional Akkadian autobiographies. Wow.
Now, I know that you've taught at Westmont since 98.
That's right.
You've been out here 12 years or so. But where were you before then? Did you teach at Westminster?
Yeah, I taught at Westminster Seminary for 18 years.
Oh, wow.
From 1980 to 98. So first 18 years, I was doing my primary teaching in seminary. And so this shift to college was kind of interesting.
Now, of all, you've written so many books. One that fascinates me is that you keep coming out with the Old Testament Commentary Survey, and you've now, I'm holding in my hand the fourth edition. Didn't Brevard Childs do this?
Yes, he did.
It's
he
dawning
did
it. On me. Right, I was going to ask where you got, where did you get the idea?
Well, I didn't really get the idea from Childs, but I know his comment. I became aware of his commentary survey after I was at Yale. The way I decided to write that was when I was at Westminster and a student came up to me and asked me, you know, Dr. Longman, what's a really good commentary on Ruth? And I told him, and then I thought to myself, you know, if I had a nickel for every time somebody asked me that. And then I figured, you know what, I can write a book and get a dollar. No, so I thought it might be helpful for people because people, you know, you go and look at the large number of commentaries out there and often people need a little bit of guidance as to what the strengths of particular commentaries are and whether they're well-written commentaries. So Baker Books asked me to write this and Don Carson does a comparable New Testament commentary series for Baker. I think he's on his sixth edition now.
So you've done four.
Yeah, I've done four, and they just recently asked me to think about doing a fifth edition, you know, because some commentaries keep coming out, and so we keep adding the new
commentaries. Boy, you really have to keep your arms around that entire field.
Right. Yeah, well, you know, I'm a big advocate of good commentaries, and I write a lot of commentaries myself because I've found them helpful over the years. As I've wanted to study a particular text more deeply. Matter of fact, just at the Institute of Biblical Research, which meets with the Society of Biblical Literature, I gave a paper in November in New Orleans on commentaries, you know, just kind of on the genre and reviewing some of the commentary series that are out there. And I also had the opportunity to suggest what would be a really good commentary series on the Old Testament, one that was Christological in orientation, that would be really helpful to pastors who want to preach the Old Testament but want to also bring the gospel to bear from the Old Testament. And I'm in discussions now with Zondervan about such a commentary series that will pair with a new commentary series that Scott McKnight's going to edit on the New Testament. Mm-hmm. So I'm excited about that development.
Do you even know how many books you've written? How many, that was my next question. How many? Because some are really large, some are really small.
Yeah, and some are co-authored. So I try not to know exactly how many there are because it probably would depress me. I don't know. Or because But I love to write. I find great joy in writing, and it's a great privilege to write, and it gets me to interact with the text, so I'm very happy about that.
Now, have you stayed with one publisher all this
long? No, Jerry. Different publishers have different strengths, and I have wonderful relationships with editors at a number of different presses. And so I published books with Baker and Zondervan and John Knox Westminster and IVP and you know, I like all those publishers. Mm-hmm. They're all trying to do really good work getting resources out there. I think back to when I first became a Christian in the 60s, and I'm sure you remember too, there wasn't the wealth of resources out there mm-hmm. in the 60s and 70s that we have now from publishers like Zondervan and Baker mm-hmm. and IVP and many others as well.
If you had to pick one book that you would most want to be judged by, which one would you want to be judged by? Or which do you think you did your best work in?
Well, that's a great question. Let me first of all say that as I think about my writing, I think about three different audiences. So I'm writing a book either for scholars, like the book Fictional Acadian Autobiography, and some of my commentaries like the Ecclesiastes and Song of Songs commentaries, you know, are more technical, though I think pastors can find great use to them as well. Then others are specifically designed for ministers and other professionals, seminary students, and then for lay people. So I don't know. It would be hard. My friend Dan Allender and I have talked about it. It's kind of like deciding which child you love more. But I think a book that I wrote that's still finding a great audience called How to Read the Psalms has been good. I've written three books since then, How to Read Genesis, How to Read Proverbs, and How to Read Exodus. But there is something about that book, How to Read Psalms, that I really kind of am happy about.
Do you have any idea which one has sold the most?
Well, unfortunately, I confess yes. No. Actually, and again, those three audiences, it's interesting. The ones you write for scholars are the ones that take the most work and they sell the least.
Yeah.
But it also depends. You know, I did an introduction to the Old Testament with my now deceased friend, Ray Dillard, that is a textbook that's used in seminaries, and it's sold a lot of copies. And How to Read Psalms, for what it is, I think it's sold about 80, 90,000 copies, been translated into about 10 languages. But the books that sell the best are the books that I write with my psychologist friend, Dan Allender, books like Cry of the Soul, Intimate Allies, which is a book about marriage, another book, I'm even forgetting the titles now, Bold Love. Bold Love was a book that we first collaborated on, which is a book about how to forgive people who hurt you, you know. Dan's first book, which is an excellent book, I think the best book on sexual abuse, is called Wounded Heart. And then this was a follow-up book that we co-authored on the more, you know, not such egregious hurting as sexual abuse, but other ways that people harm you.
And it was called Bold Love.
Yeah, that's right.
And the one on marriage was Intimate?
Intimate Allies.
Allies.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. And we got that title, Jerry, from Genesis 2, where the word there, you know, helper, that God created a helper corresponding to Adam, the word there, helper, in other contexts, in military contexts, mean ally. And so so that kind of suggested to us that since after the fall we live in a turbulent world, one of the benefits of marriage is to have an intimate ally in the struggle of life. Mm.
So. Now, you're obviously a wonderful writer, and you've been a noted professor for many years. Do you also preach?
You know, I do preach. I preach more occasionally now than when I was at seminary. I decided not to get ordained, not certainly because of anything against it, but I was really drawn to the academic side. And I felt that if I wasn't going to be in the Presbyterian system, or at least in some Presbyterian systems, if you're not called to a particular church, you know, usually don't get ordained as a minister. But I have been a ruling elder, you know, in the Presbyterian church.
Where is home church now in the Montecito area?
Yeah, we go to El Montecito Presbyterian Church, which is a PCUSA church right in the middle of Montecito, where Harold Bussell is the pastor.
And you're an elder there?
No, I haven't been an elder there. I've really traveling way too much to –
Yeah.
I would be a disappointing elder because I'm gone like every second weekend and so forth, you know,
now,
speaking.
The Presbyterian connection, that wasn't there in the teenage years, and then you went to Wesleyan. So
yeah.
Somewhere during the Wesleyan years? Or?
Well, it's probably had a lot to do with R.C. Sproul's influence and then going to Westminster Seminary.
Yeah,
that kind of – my family did go to a Presbyterian church, but for some reason, you know, I wasn't really challenged with the gospel at that church. That didn't happen till later.
So. Now, were your parents Christians?
Yeah, my parents, I would say that, you know, as I was growing up, they were, we were going to church and so forth. Though, as my father later explained to me, their faith had kind of dampened down a bit from earlier times. But then, after I became a Christian, something kind of lit up in them again as well. So yeah, they're very, well, my father's dead now, but my mother's a very strong Christian. Mm-hmm.
Tell me where Tremper Longman goes from here. What are you writing now? How long will you stay at Westmont? do you have dreams of teaching somewhere else or another country? Or?
Well, Jerry, those are great questions. The one I can answer with certainty is what I'm working on right now. I'm in the middle of a Job commentary, a pretty big Job commentary for Baker Books in a series that I also did Proverbs, and John Golden Gay did Psalms, and Rick Hess did Song of Songs, and Craig Bartholomew Ecclesiastes. And that's been a real joy, but a struggle working with a complex book like Job. And I'm also involved in a project with two other scholars, Mark Strauss at Bethel and Dan Taylor at Bethel in Minneapolis. The first one's at Bethel in San Diego. Something called the Expanded Bible. It's a study Bible tool that's a lot like an amplified Bible in that there are notes within the text itself. And the New Testament was just published 2 months ago, and we're finishing up the Old Testament over the next year, and it should be out with Thomas Nelson Publishers. And then I'm editing a big layperson's Bible dictionary for Baker Books, and we're almost done with that. You know, 7,000 articles, 150 contributors.
Wow.
And then after I finish Job, I'm contracted to do a Psalms commentary for InterVarsity in the new Tyndale series. So they'll take Kidner's very fine Psalm commentaries and publish them separately when I'm done.
Wow, that is a full plate.
Yeah, it's fun.
And are you enjoying Westmont? Do you assume that
Yeah, I assume I'm not looking to go anywhere else. I have the opportunity to teach at a number of different schools, seminary level. I teach regularly for Fuller in their extensions and sometimes at Pasadena. I teach regularly for Mars Hill Graduate School up in Seattle, for Ambrose University, which is up in Calgary. And interestingly, lately I've been teaching regularly at Peking University in Beijing. They're starting a Master's of Christian Philosophy, and two of their required courses are Old Testament courses. So I've been over there and taught 4 times, and that's been a great privilege and interesting.
Well, it's very interesting to talk with you. I know you're getting ready to go down and speak at a dinner.
Yeah, thanks.
What are we making you do tonight at the dinner?
Talk about my spiritual pilgrimage, I believe, Jerry.
This is a tradition that we've done with all of the Staley lecturers and now the Pack lecturers. So we've got about 30 years of history asking people to reflect on their spiritual walk.
Mm-hmm. And yeah.
Well, we're honored to have you on campus and looking forward to hearing the lecture tonight on Ecclesiastes.
Thank you, Jerry.
And appreciate you coming to speak to our students tomorrow on Psalms. Mm-hmm. And we urge you to come back anytime you can.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.